Oh boy. Oh boy. It is Zoe and Beetle. Without Zoe and without Beetle, which means the night program has taken over. It is Adam Jones and Nick Cattles in for the guys. We're here until 2 o'clock. Taking all your phone calls, 617-779-0985. We are live here on a Monday morning, the morning after the Patriots dropped the Super Bowl to the Philadelphia Eagles, 41-33, in what has been a shocking result, a shocking outcome last night on the field. And, you know, I would expect to hear it from plenty of people. I did not give the Eagles much of a chance whatsoever in this game. I didn't give their coach a lot of credit, Doug Peterson, who coached the exact way you need to against the Patriots to win a game. He didn't settle for field goals. He didn't play conservative like Jacksonville did the week before with Doug Marrone. He was aggressive all game long, best encapsulated by going in on forward on fourth down a couple of different times, the touchdown to Foles from Trey Burton, the fourth down conversion to Zach Ertz that ultimately led to the game-winning touchdown. Foles was great. I didn't give Foles a chance as a backup quarterback. I'm like, he's not... This is not who's going to beat the Patriots. It's not going to happen. LeGarrette Blount even decided to run all over the Patriots. Like, I couldn't have been more wrong on this game. And I don't know that I'm more wrong than the head coach and his decision-making, whether it came to personnel, whether it came to on the field. But I don't know. I think before we even delve into the Malcolm Butler decision, Nick, which I'd imagine we're going to spend a lot of time on. Apparently, I misspoke earlier. The Belichick conference call is 10 o'clock. Central time?
I'm still
trying to figure out time zones here. I still haven't quite mastered those, so we're not going to get it in the first 10 minutes of the show, but we will get it during the program today. And when we get answers from Bill, I'll be curious to hear from him. We're going to get into all your thoughts on Butler. We'll get into ours as well, but I would just start with that, Nick. Absolutely shocking result that I'm still trying to rationalize. Bill Belichick lost to a backup quarterback and went down without his best personnel on the field. Like, that's how I'm going to remember this Super Bowl.
If I told you that the Patriots would have Tom Brady in a position to throw 500 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, what would you say? Blowout, right? Blowout. They would win the game. There's no doubt they would win that football game. And they lost. They lost because the defense, once again, was just absolutely missing from the equation in the biggest game of the year. And it really does. I think you start with Butler. You could start and end with the Butler decision. I have no earthly idea. Listen, Bill Belichick is the greatest coach of all time. He will forget more about football than I will ever learn. But the one thing I didn't forget about before last night's game was Malcolm Butler. And I think Malcolm Butler is by far your second best corner on this roster. And to have Johnson Bademosi and Eric Rowe playing over Butler, to me, a guy that played 97% of the snaps this year. He missed 3 snaps.
He played more than anyone on defense. More than any other player on defense all year.
He missed 3 snaps over the final 10 games of this season. 3 snaps over the final 10 games before last night. And he's sitting. I don't know what he did. I don't know if he did anything. I don't know if anything that he did would justify sitting him throughout the entirety of the game. If it was something disciplinary, maybe a quarter, maybe a half. But at a certain point, you cannot look me in the face, Bill Belichick. You cannot look me in the face and tell me that for football reasons, he was sitting. You can't tell me that for football reasons, Malcolm Butler is sitting there watching Eric Rowe give up a 3rd-and-12 on the first drive and then a touchdown. You can't tell me that for football reasons, Butler is standing there watching Johnson Bademosi give up a 3rd-and-6 to Nelson Agholor because he can't tackle. You can't tell me that your team is better with Butler sitting. You can't tell me that.
With Rowe and Bademosi and who else? Jordan Richards, who I love, bookending the year, getting torched by Kansas City in week one and then getting torched in the Super Bowl last night. Again, you guys can jump in. 617-779-0985. Our apologies. No Zoe, no Beetle today. It is Adam Jones and Nick Cattles. On Butler. Even people who are backing Bill Belichick, and we were just talking off the air to Fred and Rich, and I asked them this in the crossover too. It doesn't sound like there's many backing Bill Belichick, which there shouldn't be, oh, by the way. But some are choosing to give him the benefit of the doubt on Malcolm Butler. Well, I want to wait and see. I want to know what he did before I really go guns blazing on Belichick. I think Curran wrote something to that effect actually today at NBC Sports Boston. He's like, I'm not taking the cheese. I've taken the cheese before. They say it's for football reasons, but there's got to be more to the story. Okay? So if that's your approach, you still have to be upset that Bill went wishy-washy with Malcolm Butler in benching him. And we all saw his reaction during the national anthem, you know, crying prior to the game. But we've seen that before. You know, no Sean Moreno, the famous teardrop that he had. Like, we've seen players get emotional
right
during an anthem. So you don't think much of that. I actually didn't really even think a ton of it when he wasn't starting the game. Because I'm like, oh, you know what this is, Nick. This is going to be big receivers on the outside. So they're going to go with Rowe and Gilmore on the outside. Butler's going to play that slot, nickel corner spot. He's going to be on the shiftier Aguilar. I'm like, okay, so he didn't technically start the game, but he's going to be out there and playing a lot. And okay, that's a little weird, but I get it. It's a matchups thing. We all know from watching two Bills last week, Bill Belichick is going to evolve and match, and he's going to throw out everything from the past, and he's going to game plan for that game. So if that means Butler in a reduced role, not benched, but in a reduced role, fine. And that's what I thought it was
right
early in the game. Turns out he was just flat-out benched. But Bill was wishy-washy about benching Butler. I keep hearing people say, Butler didn't play. Butler didn't play. He must have done something awful. Butler didn't play. He played. He was active, and he played. It was one measly snap on special teams, but he played. So let's take a step back. For anyone who does think that Bill Belichick is the disciplinarian, it was for the betterment of the team, everyone else is going to take their lead by Bill laying down the law on Malcolm Butler, which I think is selfish and dumb anyway. But let's say you feel that way. Why'd you let him play a snap? Why was he active? Like, I think that becomes the question. If you're giving Bill the benefit of the doubt, which I'm not. He missed curfew. Sit him down for a couple of series. Sit him down for a quarter. Or if you really want to go all out, make him inactive. Or certainly don't play him any snaps. No special team snaps. No nothing. If what he did was so egregious, why is he playing on special teams? It was like Wes Welker in 2010. That's what it was like. Oh, Welker's bench, but we're going to let him return punts.
Right.
Why? If what he did is so bad, why do you let him play at all? That's inconsistent. It's wishy-washy from Bill Belichick. It's absolutely the opposite of how some are trying to portray it. Bill Belichick, the disciplinarian, the authoritarian, he let Butler play. He made him active. So how bad could what Butler have done be? I cannot wrap my head around it. I can't believe they lost to a backup quarterback and they went down without their best personnel. I keep going back to that.
All right, so I can't explain the special team snap. I don't know if anyone can. As far as the active question, I think he's the only guy on the roster that could play the position that they didn't have already active, right? They lost Jonathan Jones a couple of weeks ago. I honestly question whether or not Butler would have been in uniform and active last night if Jonathan Jones was healthy. If Jonathan Jones was healthy, I find it very unlikely that Butler is even out there in his uniform. Because you look at the depth chart, you've got Bademosi, you obviously have Gilmore, you have Rowe, and you have Butler. There's your four cornerbacks that you're going to have active during the game. If Jonathan Jones is out there and he's ready to play and healthy enough, I don't think Butler's out there at all. I can't explain the special team snap. Maybe somebody got banged up. I don't know when it happened. I do know that Marquise Flowers, he got hurt at one point of the game. They went to a break, and Flowers is one of their predominant special teams guys. So maybe Flowers had a sit a play out, and that's why Butler went out there, because Flowers was dinged up for that one special team snap. But as far as active, I think that's a numbers game. I can't remember a decision.
But like, just to jump in. If you're not going to play him and he's just in case of emergency, they don't have anybody else on the active roster. I'm looking now. They have two corners on the practice squad.
Right.
So if you just need somebody to go out there and gun on special teams or a real depth guy, and you're really laying down the law and you're really sending a message to the rest of the team, because what message would it send if everybody gets hurt and now Butler's playing? I thought what he did was so egregious he's not allowed to play. Activate one of the special teamers. They're not better than Butler.
No, and I agree with you, but what I'm saying is
they're probably as good as what Richards and Bademosi and the other scrubs did last night.
I agree with you, but what I'm saying is whatever, if Butler did something from a disciplinary standpoint, it was not bad enough to make him inactive and play a guy off the practice squad. It might have been bad enough to make him inactive and play Jonathan Jones, somebody who played a number of snaps and that you trust.
I see.
So I think it was a numbers game from that standpoint. The only thing I could think of going back, I think it was the 2015 season, I believe it was, You go back, it might have been 2013, I forget. But you go back to Denver. I think it was 2015. That was the year with Philadelphia and those games at the end of the year where you had dropkick. You go back to 2015 in Denver with Chris Harper returning punt after punt after punt and dropping punt after punt after punt. That's really the only decision that I could remember looking back as far as personnel-wise inside the game when you're watching it and everyone watching the game says, Bill, you can't have Harper back there returning punts.
Yeah, try something different.
Everyone watching that game last night, whether you want to defend Belichick in some crazy world, you want to be an apologist, whatever. Everyone watching that game last night was saying, besides Stephon Gilmore, this secondary is getting freaking torched. Malcolm Butler would help this situation right now. Everyone watching football, whether casual or hard, it's mystifying to me. It's dumbfounding, Jones.
I'm dumbfounded by it as well. You know, Bill is still the greatest coach of all time, in my opinion. But you lose to a backup quarterback, that leaves a mark. And you make a personnel decision like this in a high-profile game and give away a Super Bowl, that leaves a mark. It doesn't change that Bill's the greatest, but this goes somewhere on his epitaph, right? In the Bill Belichick obituary, this is up there. And I don't know if it's higher than Spygate, but when you get to some of the bad with Bill, it's on there, and it's not going anywhere. So you guys want to sound off? You absolutely can. 617-779-0985. We're going to work our way through a ton of different things today. You know, the future of many in the organization, more specifics on the game. We'll get to you guys right after the CBS Sports Minute. It is brought to you by the Kelly Automotive Group. Boomer, on the newest members of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. How topical.
So, at the Beatle. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Put the best the players out there and the game plan out there that we thought would be the best tonight, like we always do.
I didn't really know till basically till kickoff.
Bill Belichick and Eric Rowe. And by the way, the Patriots were so inconsistent on their answers. It's Adam Jones and Nick Cattles in for Zoe and Beadle, taking you up until 2 o'clock with your phone calls. 617-779-0985. A lot of you waiting patiently. We're going to get to you. Even Eric Rowe is a great example of this, Nick. Like, yeah. He just said there, oh, I didn't know. And maybe he means I didn't officially know, but he was asked at one point, I don't know who it was, but he was asked whether or not he was practicing with the ones all week, and he's like, yeah, it was me and Steph outside all week long. So this is why I keep getting confused. So maybe it was somewhat game plan related. And then Butler, I don't know, missed a curfew. Butler wasn't really sick, and that's why he joined the team late in the week. I don't know. But, again, why make him active? Why let him play any snaps in the game last night? Why are all of is an exaggeration, some of Malcolm Butler's teammates now liking Brandon Browner's Instagram post? You see this thing, Nick? Like, Brandon Browner on Instagram rips apart Bill Belichick. And does it in multiple posts, basically says the Patriots gave away a Super Bowl here. A locker room was divided pregame. Most yards ever given up in a Super Bowl game. Most yards ever allowed by a Belichick defense in New England as well. Any game. And your best defender over the past 3 years doesn't get a snap. You were hurt, burnt, when he was needed last night. Hashtag foolish pride. So Browner puts that on Instagram. It is liked by Dante Hightower, Johnson Bottomosi, and how about a couple of expatriates? Not that they don't have an axe to grind or anything. Jamie Collins, Alfonso Denard. So, I don't know. Why are teammates? Let's start with Hightower. Hightower's well-respected, highly thought of. He knows the dynamics at play. If what Butler did was so egregious and let all his teammates down, why is Hightower agreeing with Browner? Shouldn't he be backing the coach?
Yeah, no idea. No idea why he is. Maybe they think they know the story and they don't know the story. Is there even a story? We don't even know if Butler did anything from a disciplinary standpoint. So I don't know. I will say that two guys out of the team, it doesn't set off alarms for me because it's two guys, right? It is a little troubling, obviously, when one of those guys is Hightower, Bottomosi, whatever. I mean, Bottomosi might be tight with Butler and
Jamie Collins and Denard, maybe you put them in a separate group because they're ex-players, and Browner probably has an axe to grind too. So, I mean, you put them to the side. But Hightower is significant. I agree with that. That's a significant player.
Yeah.
to be liking things like that.
I don't know his relationship with Butler. That's the one question, right? If he's BFFs with Butler, maybe he's just personally angry with the decision and sticking up for one of his guys, possibly. I don't know. I will say another thing that is so weird about the decision to play Rowe over Butler is that Rowe came from Philadelphia. If there's any team that knows that player's tendencies and how to attack that cornerback, it's Philadelphia. They scouted him. They had him on the roster. They know what he does very well. They know what he doesn't do well. And it's strange that you play that guy specifically over Butler in that matchup. I also think, you know, Rowe was targeted last night. It's crazy. 9 times.
And it felt like all 9 came on the first drive.
Yeah, 9 times. He gave up 6 catches for 79 yards in that touchdown on Alshon Jeffrey.
That felt worse.
Here's another thing on top of the Butler decision. Why in the world did you decide to play sides last night to start that game with your cornerbacks?
Instead of having Gilmore chase around Jeffrey.
Going back to Tampa Bay week 5. Stephon Gilmore became a really good player for this team. And check out his stats last night. Gilmore was excellent. He was excellent, I would say, for, I don't know, 11 weeks left of the season. He missed a couple. I'd say at least 5 or 6 weeks he was excellent. Had a couple of, you know, speed bumps, I'd say. But he was really good, on the most part, since Tampa Bay, because of one of the major reasons being, hey, Stephon, that's the guy you play, you stay with him, and you lock him up. Last night, if you're going to play Rowe, fine, play Rowe. But put Gilmore on Jeffrey, their best receiver, and say, lock him up. And when they did that, Jeffrey did nothing. Gilmore shut him out the rest of the game. So not only did you start Rowe over Butler, but you also went against what you had done defensively most of the season by playing Gilmore one-on-one with the best receiver on the opposite side. Well, that is almost as bad as not playing Butler. Both are terrible decisions in my eyes.
It's a bad night for Bill. I mean, no other way to put it. It's a bad night for Bill. And when I say that Bill Belichick is the greatest of all time, and this doesn't change that, I do feel that way. Maybe others are going to use this as ammunition to say it's Vince Lombardi or it's Paul Brown, or it's Bill Walsh. I mean, I don't know. I find that hard to believe. Bill's got the hardware and the track record where I still believe he's the greatest of all time, not infallible. And last night was a bad night for Bill Belichick. And I'll tell you what, you know, not that this is what anybody wants to do today. This would have been a good topic if they won, Nick, when you're kind of comparing the legacies of Brady and Belichick. We always talk about who's more important. Why? Well, this Super Bowl should figure pretty heavily into that equation, I will say. Whenever that debate comes up again, today's probably not the day for it. Whenever that debate comes up again, a week down the line, a year down the line, you know, 20 years down the line, this is a big Super Bowl for that debate. Bill Belichick effectively lost them a Super Bowl, whereas Brady did everything he possibly could, I guess outside of catching a pass, to have them and his geriatric 40-year-old fingers not being able to hold on to a fumble. Outside of those two things, he did everything he could have to win them this Super Bowl. So I don't know, when you talk about who's more important, this is a big one from that standpoint, not that that's the topic for today.
Yeah, it's a shame that we spent so much time, and for me, it was personally infuriating to spend as much time about Brady. Is he, you know, falling apart? Is he going to fall off the cliff? The last couple of weeks of the season, was that because of Brady? And it was justified to talk about, but I watched those games. I didn't think it was Brady. I thought it was mitigating circumstances around him. I did not think that he personally was at fault for a lot of the mediocrity that we saw from the offense over the last 4 or 5 weeks of the regular season. It's really frustrating that your quarterback, the biggest storyline going into the season was, can Brady play well at the age of 40? And he was lights out for the most part last night, and it didn't matter. 500 yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 picks. And what's even more infuriating is that the offensive line was outstanding last night until the most critical play of the game, when Shaq Mason loses his ass against Brandon Graham. And that will, you know, the one time your offensive line fell apart protection-wise in front of Brady cost you. It's just, it's really tough because you look at last night, and Brady, you're right, he did everything he could to win that game, and it's really tough to look at him at 40 years old and say, man, at 40, he did everything mentally and physically to play his best game in the biggest game, And at the end, it didn't matter.
Yeah, maybe stop throwing passes to the 40-year-old, too. That's another thing. Well, you want to second-guess some decisions. That's a good one. What? That's the best play you had on 3rd and 5? Throwing to the 40-year-old quarterback? 617-779-0985. Let's get to your phone calls here. CJ is in Dorchester. Get us started, CJ. Hello, CJ.
Hey, so, having Butler out, obviously that's a huge topic of conversation. One of the bigger things I saw was it was infuriating me how many missed tackles these guys had. There were so many situations where it was 3rd and 6 where they're deep in their own zone. Guys couldn't tackle. I know Butler's pretty good at coming in and making that final tackle, so that might have even affected them. But the defense was just killing me all night.
Yeah, look, CJ, I think Butler is big in that role. Nick already brought this up. The Bottomosi blown tackle on, was it Aguilar or was it Torrey Smith?
I thought it was Aguilar.
I forget which one.
But I think it's Aguilar.
The 3rd and 6 play where he couldn't tackle. That's a tackle Butler makes, I think.
Yeah.
Obviously, the horrendous angle and tackling from Jordan Richards. Like, we saw that week 1 against Kansas City. Why that guy's on the team, I have no idea.
He sucks.
He's so bad.
He blows.
He's so bad. He shouldn't even be on the team, never mind playing over Malcolm Butler. So it's a good point. I mean, it wasn't all scheme. They had some breakdowns, but that goes back to personnel, and that goes back to Belichick. Like, it's hard to not have this game stick to Belichick, even if it's players breaking down on the field. They're players who shouldn't have been out there. 617-779-0985. We'll continue with all your feedback. I do want to get into Bill Belichick, and again, sort of the strange year that there's been. His futures of Gronk and McDaniels, Brady, everyone else. We can do that after the headlines from John Wallach.
Zoe and Beetle, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Zoe and Bertrand.
At my future, for sure. I'm going to sit down the next couple of weeks, reflect on the season. We fought all year long. All the receivers, running backs, linemen. I mean, we put all the work in together. So I'm just going to reflect on the season, proud of the boys, and just see what happens from here.
Hey, he's going to check in with the boys about the future of the best tight end.
What's up, boys? Should I retire or not?
In NFL history.
What that, say you?
That means I got to see what my daddy tells me to do. The translation from Gronk, I got to see what daddy wants me to do. It is Adam Jones and Nick Cattles in for Zoe and Beetle. 617-779-0985. We are taking you up until 2 o'clock here on the day after the Super Bowl. A little Super Bowl aftermath, picking at the carcass of the Patriots after falling 41-33. We spent a lot of time on the Malcolm Butler decision. We're not going to stray away from that, I don't think, a ton today. But we do want to mix in a few other items. Gronk is one of many, and you just heard his answer there. He's going to evaluate his future, which just... That answer was strange, very strange. Especially the first part of it. He's like, well, I don't know how you guys found out about that. Like Gronk thinks he has some great secret, or he's thinking on a higher plane than anyone else. He can't understand how anyone would figure out and put the dots together, connect the dots on some grand scheme that he's hatched. Well, I don't know how you guys found out about that one. That's a little disconcerting to hear Gronk talking about his future. I've heard many say maybe it's a leverage play. Maybe it is.
Yeah.
But it's still something to keep an eye on. There's the story from Florio before the game yesterday, and then McDaniels after the game. He's not committing to anything, though Nick was just telling me off the air that, who is it, Mike Lombardi is saying that McDaniels is going to go to the Colts.
And Schefter says that Patricia and McDaniels will be named respective head coaches of the Colts and Lions by midweek.
Okay, so if McDaniels does go to Indy, then that takes away a lot of the speculation for me about Belichick. If McDaniels is coming back and he's pulling a Bill in New York on the Colts, then all of a sudden I look at that and I go, well, why is McDaniels coming back?
Yeah.
Does that have anything to do with Bill and his future? I know what Tom said. I'm not ruling anything out with Tom. It's like, man, there is a lot of question. In a weird, weird year, Nick, I said this in the crossover with Fred and Rich, in what was such a weird year, from Bill's approach in the offseason, trading away basically every draft pick they had, to Bill trading away Jimmy Garoppolo, things just weren't normal.
Yeah.
To the Seth Wickersham piece, the tension, the dysfunction, however you want to put it. And again, the further along we go, the more right that thing looks. Bill saying, absolutely, I want to be back, but not really meaning it or not feeling like there was a lot of conviction there. The Crafts and their answer last week, oh, we're not going to answer your questions about Bill and his future. Like, there's so many weird answers along the way
right.
from everyone. It's hard for me to sit here and be like, oh, yeah, everybody's coming back next year. Bill will be back. Brady will be back. Gronk will be back. The coordinator's gone, but they'll figure it out. Like, there's enough strangeness going on with this team, and there has been all year, that I honestly am ruling nothing out at this point.
All right, let me try to check all the boxes here. I think the fact that New England, as an organization, handles the media in the way that they do opens the door for this kind of speculation, because they never truly give you the answers that you want. They are never, hardly ever. Now, last year, we can go back to Kraft saying that Belichick still had multiple years on his contract. I don't know if Belichick was happy about that. Belichick doesn't like talking about his own situation. So for him not to be super excited being asked if he's coming back, I don't put too much into that. The Kraft's not talking about Belichick's contract and future. I also don't put too much into that because Belichick, I think, doesn't want it out
but
there.
But just in totality, I know you said you're going to check every right. box. In totality. We can explain away each one individually. In totality, there's just so much smoke around everything
but again,
and everyone's future.
But again, I think that happens because of the way the Patriots do business.
I mean, true.
They don't open up. You know, they're not an open book for the most part. This year, all the stories that came out, it was, as I said from the very beginning, the bigger story to me than the Wickersham story and Curring having it and Reese having it was the fact that people were talking, because no one ever talks in New England. That was the bigger story to me, that people were actually chirping to the media about tension behind closed doors. I don't take anything that players say after a game to heart at all, especially when it's a game like last night and you lose and it's emotional. I don't, if Gronk said, I think I'm going to walk away, I still wouldn't take that to the bank, because it's after an emotional game. He just played his heart out, had a huge second half. So players, think about Ben Roethlisberger last year, I'm going to retire. Now he wants to play another 3 years. When I look at Brady, I don't think he's going. You throw 500 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, and you walk off the field as a loser. I think him being the competitor that he is, and the fact that he wants to prove to people that he can play until his mid-40s, he's going to stay. And finally, as far as Belichick leaving, another thing I would say is, I keep going back to the two Bills, Jonesy. That documentary, you know, one of the parts they talked about, Belichick, when he decided to go to Cleveland, quickly after that, Parcells decided to step away. And there was conjecture on the point of the players like Pepper Johnson and others saying,
Bill should have been the guy in waiting.
Right, if Belichick knew. And Belichick said in the two Bills that he had no idea that Parcells was going to walk away. So either one of two scenarios could play out here. I don't think Belichick puts McDaniels and Patricia in that position and says, hey, I know I'm going to leave, but I'm not going to tell these guys. I don't think he does that. Number two, if he does walk away, I do not think it's because of what happened this past year, but it will be a decision that Belichick makes from this point going forward. He'll look back and say, I just don't want to go back. I don't think he's made up his mind yet. And if he's made up his mind, he would have told McDaniels or Patricia.
Yeah.
I don't think he puts his guys, because, I mean,
well, that's why I tie the McDaniels, if he goes to Indy
right.
thing, so much into
I
it.
I just can't
if
imagine.
If McDaniels all of a sudden comes back, Bill leaving is right back on the table.
I agree.
Since you brought up two Bills, I was saying this to Tom Morgan before the show. You know what stood out to me in that, the more I thought about it, and Bill's decision-making? Because he's pulled the rug out from under people, too. It's not
just
Parcells who's done it now. Belichick's done it. We all think of him resigning as HC of the NYJ, right? We all think about that.
Yeah.
What two Bills revealed is that Bill had done that before. Bill had an agreement with the Minnesota Vikings. I forget if it was to be their linebackers coach or their D coordinator.
Yeah.
I forget which. And he backed out of that.
Yep.
Now, look, this is two examples in 40-plus years as a head coach, so I don't even want to call it a pattern with Bill. It's just the Jets thing wasn't isolated. Bill kind of throwing everyone a curveball, that's not isolated. He threw the Vikings a curveball. He obviously threw the entire Jets organization a curveball. So while I wouldn't call it a pattern, I also wouldn't say it's isolated. And I wonder how that ties into this and this decision-making.
There's one more bit of information that we should pass along. You know, there's an outlet out there, and you might remember it off the top of your head because I haven't really heard a ton of it.
Football Scoop one
that
you said?
Yeah. So Football Scoop, which has been used by many people to kind of bounce off of and report and make their own, right? Like Football Scoop reports something, and then, you know, a little bit later, somebody else will be like, oh, yeah, like Schefter. Oh, yeah, that's going to happen.
Yep. Heard that. I should start doing that with my Twitter. Yep, I can confirm. Yep. @AdamJones985 confirms Football Scoop.
Last week, there were some rumors floating around, and there's been rumors going around since really the Patricia stuff to Detroit came about with Greg Schiano joining this coaching staff here in New England. Football Scoop says this morning that Schiano is going to be the defensive coordinator and assistant head coach of the Patriots. Now,
oh, good.
I think when you look at that, well, he's a really good defensive guy. When you look at that, he's Belichick's BFF, one of them. So I think that would also, if that move does happen, if that happened,
Bill's
that would
yeah,
exactly that would lend credence to the idea that Belichick's staying to have his guy as his right-hand man.
Ugh. And if his right-hand man is here, does that mean he's the coach in waiting? Not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but yikes. How'd you feel about Greg Schiano? Rutgers here in New England. I mean, they already have half the Rutgers roster here anyway. It's all Rutgers and Navy anyways. But, yikes. I don't know how I feel about Schiano coming here, whether he's buddies with Bill, whether he's good on defense or not. That's odd, because, again, that's not typically how Bill acts. He typically promotes from within, though there may not be a lot of guys left outside of his kids.
I mean, I would like to have somebody here, whether he's the DC or not. I do think it's a good idea to have somebody here with experience and has been a head coach, has been a DC in big spots.
You don't want Steve Belichick running the defense?
No.
You
no
don't?
Thanks. No.
Ah, why? I feel like Bill always does what's best for the team. I think promoting his kids and letting them run the show, I think, is best for the team. Just like I think sitting down Malcolm Butler is best for the team. Trading Jimmy Garoppolo away for a package that basically Alex Smith got for Kansas City, I think that was best for the team. I think Bill's been right on the mark with that all year long. Really all year long. I think he's nailed that. 617-779-0985. We'll continue with all your feedback. Lottie waiting patiently, which we appreciate. Adam Jones, Nick Cattles, in for Zoe and Beetle.
Zola and Bertrand. Midday on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Backs up, pocket holding a lot of time to throw it left toward the end zone, and that pass is perfect! On the money! Over two defenders! Touchdown, Eagles! What a throw! From Nick Foles.
It's double coverage.
Corey Clement.
Hold on.
But was Clement.
Left foot might be out.
Inbounds when he made the play. All right, Gene Steratore with Al Riverone, the head of officiating, taking a look at the Corey Clement.
After review.
Apparent touchdown catch.
The ruling on the field stands.
Oh.
Touchdown.
No. Sorry.
We're coming up on 11 o'clock, 98.5, the Sports Hub. That's the 22-yard touchdown catch by Corey Clement that probably should not have been a touchdown catch.
Yeah, they missed that one.
Believe it or not, I actually side with Zoe on that one. I side with most of you on that one. Where I would jump off, and we got first take on over here in the corner. I'm just reading the little captions. The question, did the Patriots lose because of the refs? Did the officials screw them over? I mean, on that call, I think they did. And look, I get it if you're frustrated with certain calls in the game. We've been talking in the last couple of breaks about the hit on Brandon Cooks. I know Matt Chatham thinks they lost because there was an illegal formation. Like, I definitely start there, Matt. That's where I'd start with my criticism of the game.
An
illegal formation on a touchdown where all they got to do is, you know, maybe cover Nick Foles, but worry about the illegal formation. That's why they lost. Definitely Matt Chatham. I 1,000% agree with that. The other one, the Ertz one, that a lot of people think is controversial, I thought that one was pretty cut and dry. There were some questionable calls. The Clement one, chief among them. If that's where you start and say, oh, the Patriots just lost because the officials screwed them, I just don't know how to talk to you today. There were so many other things on the list where you can look at your own team and say they screwed it up, they could have done it better, take care of business, don't put it in the officials' hands. I agree, that was a bad call. Probably shouldn't have been a touchdown for Clement. If that's where you start, that's pathetic. That's pathetic.
Yeah, you can't start there. You just can't. The Butler decision, the atrocious, absolutely freaking atrocious third down defense. And we're not talking about third and two, third and three.
Nope.
We're talking about third and 12, third and six a couple of times. I believe they converted a third and seven. At one point.
What was the Ertz touchdown? That was third and eight? There was a third and six on that drive, a fourth and one that Ertz converted, and then the touchdown. I think it was a third and eight.
I mean, at one point, I think they had the graphic up that the Eagles were like 9 of 11 on third down.
Yeah, they finished 10 of 16.
Just,
and 2 for 2 on fourth.
My goodness. You cannot find your ass with two hands and a flashlight on third down defense last night. I don't know what in the world. Listen, missed tackles. And I talked about this with Jeff Howell on the Roundtable show we did a couple of weeks ago on that Saturday. I talked about it with you during the week last week, Jones. The only way the Eagles were going to beat you with Nick Foles, and he played great last night. He made a couple of throws.
That throw was the one we just played. Even Zoe was like, "Oh, that was a in the double coverage, looked off the safety. That was a dime. That was a nice throw."
He made three or four throws that were just earth shattering to me. However, I talked about it all week, and it's not rocket science. Everybody should have known this before the game kicked off last night. That defense needed to be disciplined. If you were disciplined, you would win that game. And that includes third down defense. That includes tackling. And the Patriots were not good enough defensively last night to win that game. Period. End of freaking sentence. They weren't good enough. And for people waking up and trying to find reasons why they lost that game, number one, Malcolm Butler not playing was a huge deal. Number two, the fail of execution in situational football. And if we're all going to wake up the morning after a Super Bowl when the Patriots win and get on our knees and pray to the God of Bill Belichick and his greatness when it comes to situational football, it is only fair that when this team craps their pants situationally, we wake up the next morning after a Patriots loss in a Super Bowl and hold Bill Belichick accountable for the lack of execution on that side of the football.
Well, or you can blame the refs. I mean, you can blame the refs, too. I feel like that's fair. Forget about holding the greatest coach of all time accountable for his personnel decision-making or, you know, his actual scheme, his game plan. You know, we get it shoved down our throats, Nick. Do your job. Two Bills. I thought if Bill's the greatest defensive coach of all time and he's scheming it up like he was, I mean, for God's sakes, his game plan against the K-Gun and Jim Kelly in the Super Bowl, that's in the Hall of Fame. How do we not get on him for the scheme last night? So I'm with you. I start with Bill. I don't start with the refs. And if you start with the refs, I can't talk to you today. They screwed up a call. They screwed up a touchdown. I'll grant you that. The Clement play should not have been. That is not why they lost the game. It's not. There's a million other reasons why they lost that game. Start with those. Then we can talk about the refs. 617-779-0985. Let's go to Michael in the great state of Vermont. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, how are you? I'm actually from Boston. I drove up north last night.
Yeah, we don't care. What's your point?
So, I think you guys are all crazy. The blame is way too much. I think Doug Peterson called a great game last night.
True.
And I think that if Malcolm Butler plays in the game, we still put up 40 points. I'm going to be honest with you. The personnel that we had this year defensively was just not there. You can't put the blame on the play calling. It was a little bit suspect, but the personnel just wasn't there. We didn't get it done.
Okay, well,
the personnel wasn't there because you decided not
exactly
to play Malcolm Butler.
Exactly. I'd like to see if they had Butler instead of Bottomosi or Rowe or Jordan Richards. I would just like to see what the personnel looked like.
Listen. The personnel, Malcolm Butler was good enough to play 97% of the snaps this year.
More than anyone on defense.
He missed three snaps in the final 10 games of the season before last night. And he didn't play last night in the biggest game of the year. We talked about this personnel. You want to talk about the personnel? We could talk about the personnel. The front seven, for the most part, sucked. They didn't have enough playmakers. They had Trey Flowers all year. Malcolm Brown was good in the middle. He's a defensive tackle. That's what he is. He's not going to jump out at you with 10 sacks because of his position. They didn't have enough talent in the front seven, right? We can all agree on that. What was their strength? Their strength, when they played best defensively, was that secondary. And the secondary was Gilmore, it was Butler, it was McCourty, and it was Chung.
It wasn't Richards all year? No.
I mean, I just...
It wasn't Bottomosi all year?
I got no patience for it. I always say this. People want to paint me as an apologist and a fanboy and a homer. You know, give me a break with that kind of stuff. I am objective. I'm fair. If the team wins and they deserve credit, they get credit. When a decision that is made that directly affects the result of the game, which was last night in Malcolm Butler, unless he killed a family of four or something else comes out that's so crazy, that decision last night is the reason why your favorite team, the team you root for, gave up 41 points. If Butler is out there, they don't give up 41. They might give up 24. They might give up 27. They might even give up 30. They don't give up 41 points. Butler does not give up that 3rd-and-12. He doesn't give up the touchdown. He makes the tackle on Aguilar on 3rd-and-6. Let's be fair about it.
I would say if he killed a family, a family of four, I'd probably still let him get in there in the second half. Family of five, six, I don't know, maybe.
Were kids involved?
I don't know. It's a good question.
How young were the kids?
Here's the thing.
Some serious questions.
It could not have been that bad. Whatever Butler did couldn't have been that bad. He was active and he played in the game. People keep saying he didn't play. He played. He played a snap. He played a snap on special teams. So just, if what he did was so egregious, why'd Bill let him play? Why'd Bill let him dress? Send him home. Plug in a special teamer or a practice squad player. So I'm tired of hearing that. That he didn't play. No, he played. Bill played him. So he's wishy-washy about it. By the way, Bill Belichick, it is now 10 o'clock Central Time, 11 o'clock Eastern, so I guess the conference call is starting. I'm still trying to figure out time zones over here. So we'll see. We'll see if Bill gives us any answers. I'm not necessarily holding my breath, but if he's tired of the heat being on him, today's the day to throw Malcolm right under the bus. Start getting some support back, Bill. We'll see if Bill tries a weasel move here on the conference call, and we'll get to all your thoughts right after Tim McCone and Hub Headlines.